Imaragai Gimbai, Biribi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country. And it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hello and welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi. Tony Dennison is an Aboriginal evangelist who shares his unique perspective on life. This week, Tony shares with us some of the many comical incidents in his life, showing that God really does have a sense of humour.
I never knew God on the outside, except when I got saved. And you know, you watch all these telly evangelists, and you know, they talk about being baptised in the Holy Spirit and baptised in water. And I had about half a dozen men that I used to teach the Word of God to every day. And they got it in their head that they wanted to have a baptism. And in the shower block, they did actually have a bathtub and showers. And they got this bright idea one day that we're going to fill the bathtub with water and baptise people. The funny thing was, but nobody wanted to go first, because there was me, I'm a bank robber. There was another guy, they used to nickname him the postman, always knocks twice. He was actually in for actually raping a postman. And then you had this other guy, he was in for different things, and they're all people with illustrious past. Nobody trusted each other to hold them under the water, you know, to get baptised, and I certainly wasn't going to let them hold me under the water. I didn't want to see God so quick. But it was so funny, we had this great idea, but nobody trusted each other. We trusted God, but we didn't trust each other to hold each other under the water and let us come up. We had a lot of fun in prison too at different times, and this guy we called the postman always knocked twice. When you travel in prison vans from jail to jail, they put you in a black Mariah, and there's always a little peephole somewhere in the canvas or something where you can look out when you're passing through towns. And if you've been in prison a long time, you know, and you haven't seen, you know, real people in the real world, you drive through a town, you start looking out the windows and you... Oh, there goes a good sort. Oh, there goes, oh, there's some people there, you know, and you're looking, oh, and there goes somebody else. And the old postman knocked twice, he'd be looking for postmen. You drive through a town, and his whole thing being in the prison black Mariah was to see if he could see a postman. It was so funny because we used to wind him up. We used to call him the postman, always knocks twice. They changed the prison guard's uniform, and they actually looked like postmen. And there was a prison guard there. We used to call him Benny the Ball out of Top Cat. He was a keg on legs. He was short, fat, and I mean, he was really round, not fat. I mean, he was fast fat. And we nicknamed him Benny the Ball, and he used to deliver the mail. And me and a couple of prison guards, we got together and we said to this postman knocks twice. We said, brother, he's not a prison guard, he's a postman, because he used to carry the mail. He used to carry the mail around to the cell blocks. Anyway, he climbed up onto the roof of the kitchen, over the awning over the kitchen. The prison guard was doing the rounds with the letters and the mails, and the prisoner did a swan dive off of the roof of the kitchen and landed on top of Benny the Ball. He said, "You're not a prison guard, you're a postman." The prison guard jumped up and he ran terrified up to the front gate. He was screaming. He wanted to get out of it. He quit. He couldn't handle it. He didn't know what the postman was going to do, but he just couldn't handle it. We made this wine once, and we buried it underneath the floor in this old tin shack, like an old mission hut. We had a tin shack on the back of the prison farm and down near the garbage depot, and we made it in these brand-new garbage bins. And we put some in the floor. We dug a hole and put a trap door over and put some stuff over it. We had this great home brew in there. We had it in the garbage bins, and the screw come down to... Screw is an affectionate term for a prison officer. Some call it affectionate, other people use it derogative. But this prison guard, he was a funny fellow. Like, he was a little chubby fellow. He was like a keg on legs. Anyway, he used to come... He'd come around and check on us, though, because he knew it was Christmas coming up and we had brew stashed away somewhere. Anyway, and he was doing a search of the hut, and there was a whole heap of fleas up there, because we had bunk beds and all out there. We had everything but TV. You know, it was a home away from home, and we asked them, can we grow our own veggies? And they said, oh, doing something productive. We was only growing stuff we can put in the brew. And we had this great watermelon wine at the time. And what had happened was that he came in and he got attacked by fleas, and I was captain of the fire brigade, volunteer fire brigade. We used to go to outside the fires outside of the prison, and he brought the fire truck down, and he, being captain of the fire crew, I had to come with him. And he said, "We're going to burn this," he said. "We're going to burn this thing to the ground." So we put the fuel all around it and lit it up. And he saw the brand new garbage bins in the back of the thing. And I thought, "How are we going to get this brew out of here without him catching us?" Anyway, he said, "Oh, I can't burn them bins up." And the prison guard ran into the fire, grabbed the bins and dragged them out, and that was full of home brew. The whole purpose was he was looking for the home brew, but he finished up saving it for us. When we tell God we're sorry, he doesn't smack us over the head with a big stick. When I was a kid growing up, my uncle was a fire and brimstone preacher. He used to say, "Tony, God's going to get you for that. God's going to get you for that." I said, "Man, God's going to get me for a lot of things because I'm bad every day." But you know, the difference between when I was growing up and what I am now is that I know that God loves me. And he loves me so much that when I do wrong, he reminds me and he speaks to my heart. And when he does, it's so easy to say, "God, ask you to forgive me." You know what God says in his word? He said, God said, if we confess our sins, he will forgive us our sins and he'll remember them no more. And it's that simple. We don't have to go to ask somebody else to pray for us for forgiveness. We don't have to go to another church. We don't have to go to the Pope or anybody else to stand in for us. Because see, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn between God and man. And you see, what God says is this: "Tony, you come to me. Steph, you want to come to me? You can talk to me anytime." Now, Jimmy Little was famous, an Aboriginal singer. He wrote a song called "Telephone to Glory." You see, what it says is that Jesus is on the telephone. He's created a phone system between us. And we can talk to God anytime. You know what's so good about that is we don't have to pay Telstra. We don't have to pay Optus. We don't have to have Vodafone. We don't need the 4G next generation phone. We don't need an iPad. We just say, "Father God, I love you. Father God, just forgive me, Father God, for my sins and take it away." You know, that's how good God is. All we got to do is cry out, "Abba, Father. Father, I love you." And you know, if you're out there today and you're listening to this, I don't care what you're doing. You can be watching the TV. Your football team could be going down the gurgler. But you know what? You trust God, because you can't put your hope in football teams or football players. Just put your trust in God. And all you have to do is trust him day by day. Every day is a new day in God.
Telephone to glory, oh what joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line. By God the Father, for his very own, you may talk to Jesus on this royal telephone. Central's never busy, always on the line. You can hear from heaven almost any time. 'Tis a royal service built for one and all. When you get in trouble, give this royal line a call. Glory, oh what joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line. Made by God the Father for his very own, you may talk to Jesus on this royal telephone. There will be no charges, telephone is free. It is built for service, just for you and me. There will be no waiting on this royal line. Telephone to glory always answers just in time. Telephone to glory, oh what joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line. Made by God the Father for his very own, you may talk to Jesus on this royal telephone.
there's a lot of families out there, and I know, because of being politically correct, they don't smack their kids. They don't discipline their kids. And you know what the Bible says about that? Spare the rod, you ruin the child. It doesn't mean take a stick and flog them to death. You don't have to physically abuse the child. But if you discipline a child in love, they will respect you. I worked at a refuge once. I was filling in for the manager who went to a wedding. And there was teenagers there from the age of about 16 to 20. And there was about 12 of them in the refuge, and I was the new kid on the block. I was managing the place for the night. Being the new kid, three or four of the girls decided to take me aside and chat me up and talk to me, telling me how good I was and all this and that. Well, the boys that was in the refuge were robbing the house next door. The girls kept me occupied, asking me questions about who I am, what I do and that. And the boys was next door actually robbing the place. I actually walked outside and I climbed up to the fence and I saw these guys. I saw a security light come on. And these guys started running to get away, and they knocked the old lady over. They come home, and they had all the jewellery, they had all the stuff in there with them, and they jumped the fence, and they saw me standing there looking at them. They ran through the yard of the refuge, and they disappeared. So I contacted the person that employed me, and I said, look, we're going to have to do something. Now, these people, they injured that old lady next door. They broke in and did a robbery. And you know what the person said to me? Oh, we can't do anything about that, because how would it look if we actually went to the police? How would we look to these kids? How would we look in their eyes if we dobbed them into the police? We won't get no kids coming here. The dilemma for me was, well, these people, I was unemployed, they gave me a job, and it was a good job. But the problem that I had with this was they broke the law. They did something wrong. They injured that old lady. And I said to the guy that employed me, I said, well, look, it's like this. I've got to look at myself in the mirror tomorrow when I get up to have a shave. And I've got to go to the police. Either you call them or I will. Anyway, I rang the police and they came to the refuge and they interviewed the kids. Anyway, they confessed to it and they locked them up. And I was told, well, you probably won't be working here anymore. And I said, that's fine, because we've got to honour God in the things we do. And you see, I also had a prison ministry at that time, and being in prison myself, I knew that, you know, you got to not only appear to be saying things, you got to be what you're saying. You got to live what you're saying. You can't talk the talk and not walk the walk. So and I had two young females involved in my prison ministry, and we went to the prison every Tuesday night to have a meal with the prisoners. And we was allowed in to go into the dining room and have a meal. And these juvenile offenders were actually in this prison. So I went to the prison governor and I said to him, before I go in to the prison with the girls tonight, I need to talk to these prisoners because they're in here because I reported them to the police. And he said, okay, Tony, we'll put you outside the cell to talk to them. I said, no, you'll put me in the cell and lock me in there with them. He said, we can't do that. What if you get hurt? I said, no, we got to do this because I want to show these kids that I'm not afraid of them and that I did it because I love them. And they let me into the cell. They locked the door. And the toughest one in the group, you know what he said to me? He said, Pastor Tony, he said, I want you to know we respect you for what you did. We're in here because you put us in because we did the wrong thing. But he said, I don't respect those people at that refuge. Because they put the refuge first and their reputation. But you put us first by diving us into the police. We want you to know that we love you and respect you. And I said, well, if that's the case, can I bring the girls in for dinner tonight? And they said, yes. And you know what happened? We got in there that night. A riot broke out in the hall, you know, in the dining room. A riot broke out. And when that riot broke out, the six boys that I'd put in prison defended the girls, protected them, made sure none of us got hurt. Even me, they protected me. And I'm big and ugly enough to defend myself. They protected us because we did what God wanted us to do. We showed them respect and love. We showed them that we loved them and cared by doing the right thing. People don't want to do things because they want to be loved. They want to be needed. But, you know, if you're doing the wrong thing by not disciplining a child or not telling them you love them, you know, you're not doing them any favours, because you need to have discipline in their lives. They need to know that you love them. But if you don't discipline, there's no boundaries. If you don't have boundaries in place, you know what they did? They did in America once. They said that it was cruel to put a fence around a school because it wasn't fair to the kids. And they removed the fence. And you know what happened? All the kids congregated in the center of the playground because they didn't know where the boundary finished. So they stayed together in the middle of the playground. With your children, with your workplace, there's boundaries that have got to be in place. And if you don't have those boundaries, people don't know where they are. You know what's the best thing about loving Jesus and following God? Because you know where the boundaries are. You know when you do something wrong. Man, I sin every day. Man, I'm a mighty man of God. People tell me that. But you know what? I sin just like you do. I make mistakes every day of my life. The difference between me and you is this. When I do sin, the Holy Spirit gives me a little check on my spirit. And I know I've done the wrong thing. And because I love God so much, I want to repent and I want to tell him that I'm sorry that I did it. Just before I go, I just want to share a little bit more on forgiveness. It's very hard to forgive somebody that's done you wrong, and it's always difficult because pride gets in the road when it comes to forgiveness. You know, I know people that know they've done wrong, they've been caught out doing wrong, and they still can't forgive, and they can't even ask for forgiveness. But it's even harder to forgive somebody when they've interfered with one of your children. One of my children was sexually abused, and the perpetrator was a friend. Not only a friend, he was a fellow Aboriginal, and he was a school teacher. This is a person that I allowed into my home. This is a person on many nights that we got together as family and friends, and we played Texas Hold'em poker just to have a break in things, you know, and have a nice meal and a nice get-together. When you trust somebody like that, when you trust a school teacher and you allow them to come into your family, come into your home, and then you don't know what's going on, because it's hard for anyone that's being interfered with, been sexually abused, to come out and say anything. My daughter hated me for a long, long time because she said, "Dad, you failed to protect me as a father. You failed to be there for me when I needed you." That broke my heart. To think that I failed my child, it really broke my heart, knowing that I wasn't able to do anything about it. And it comes back to when we was kids on the mission, when we was interfered with and we couldn't be protected because the law didn't protect us. And it brought too many bad memories back and too many flashbacks. I remember saying to God, I said, "I need to forgive, but I can't do it on my own. I need you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and your love and your grace and your mercy. Because, Lord, it says that if I don't forgive this person for what he's done to my family, then you can't forgive me for what I've done against you. You can't forgive me if I won't forgive." And a lot of people out there don't understand that principle. Because the Bible says if you can't forgive your brother whom you can see, then I can't forgive you. And God says, you know, we sin against him all the time. We trespass against him. And for him to forgive us our trespasses against him, we need to forgive other people. And I tell you what, it wasn't the easiest thing in the world that I had to do. But I was able to do it because I put my trust in God, my strength in God. And I know that one day, it's not up to me to punish him. It's not up to the courts. But if he don't repent and ask God to forgive him, then one day he'll never dodge the final judgment. He will never be able to look God in the eye and tell him that he didn't do it or he didn't mean to do it. Unless he repents, unless he says to God, "Forgive me for all the things I've done," and ask God to come into his heart as his Lord and Saviour. I know what his punishment is. His punishment is he's going to go to hell for eternity. And I want you to really get that in your spirit. Eternity is forever. Eternity is not 5 years. It's not 10 years. It's not 100 years. It's forever. It's never going to end. And I think apart from being in hell with the devil and the old pitchfork and all that garbage, you know what the punishment really is going to be? The fact that you're going to meet God for the first time when you stand before him in judgment. And then you'll never see God for eternity. The separation of not seeing God again after knowing who God is punishment.
This is King's Kids and I'm Heidi. King's Kids is online and we'd love to hear from you. Go to kingskidsministries.org and send us a message, or you can ring Tony on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. Take care, and we'll see you next week. King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.